What follows is based on extensive research, interviews, and inquest testimony. Some characters have been imagined for dramatic purposes. A view from a body cam as a man gets out of a vehicle. He approaches a young male who's standing by a motorbike on the driveway of a house.
Sir, what are you up to?
I'm on my way to work.
Right, this is what's going to happen. Right, if you don't pay and you remove that vehicle, I'm going to have to inform the police that it's stolen.
I'm already on my way to work, so...
Right, that vehicle is now owned by the court. Now, this is all on camera. I have to tell you, if you remove that vehicle, it is technically stealing. The best thing that you can do right now is to get this cleared. I'll give you half an hour.
You're joking, aren't you? Half an hour? Are you serious?
I'm well within my right to seize this vehicle right now, but I'm not doing that, am I? No, I'm prepared to help you. It's in your best interest to find the 507 now, today, get that paid off, all right? Yeah, that is the best that I can do, sir, if I'm honest.
Killed by my debt. New Addington, Croydon, Greater London. February 2015, 1 year earlier.
Where's your job boy, Mum?
He's up. He knows I've done his toast.
Look, Macy, can you pack that away now, please? Can you get ready for school as well? Holly, can you help her? Oops. What is it with kids and slime? So you're going to be raking it in, then?
Yeah. Only $1,500 a month.
Yeah?
Yeah, plus I'll be on my bike, tearing it up.
Carefully. Yeah, and also, can you dress up warmly? Because you don't want to aggravate your asthma.
Yeah, Mum, yeah.
Just want you to be safe. I'm really proud of you, though.
We're all so proud of you.
You're taking the mic.
No, seriously, you're doing a good thing. You finally got up off your bum and you got a job, you know? Riding around your little moped. It's great.
How are you getting to the service centre?
You thought of a route? Because I got an app you can use.
I've got a sat nav.
What are you doing?
Can you put that back? No, not at breakfast.
What's Mum Coco Pops?
Looking up, mummy.
Bye.
Okay, I'll see
you.
Right.
I'm taking that
school.
Bye. Bye.
Jerome pulls up at an office block.
You'll mainly be delivering between hospitals. Time critical. Think you can manage?
Yeah. This is a confirmation of tender to supply courier services to City Sprint, in other words, a contract, and this is your courier handbook. Bullet points are as follows. You will be supplying us with courier services as a self-employed person, not as an employer worker. As a self-employed person, you're not entitled to claim unfair dismissal, discrimination, any minimum wage, pension contributions, sick pay or holiday pay. City Sprint is under no obligation to give you work at any time. Being available as much as possible will help you to increase your earnings, and taking jobs which are nearby is likely to result in less dead mileage and increase.
What's dead mileage?
It's in the handbook. You are an independent business, so you pay your own costs, such as fuel and vehicle costs, as well as any traffic fines, and you'll be charged for the hire of communications equipment and uniform. Key to City's business.
Sorry, did you say charged?
For the courier pack, 24 quid a week. Key to City Sprint's success is its reputation and professionalism. It is therefore vital that couriers give a good impression of City Sprint as their subcontracted courier. You are your own boss, so you have complete flexibility to choose when and where you work, giving you full control over your life and earning potential. The contractor warrants and represents that he has read and understood the handbook and is aware of and understands the nature of the services that shall be provided by him from time to time to City Sprint.
A wide-eyed Jerome looks puzzled. Now he's wearing a helmet as he speeds through city streets on his motorcycle. Later, he's walking through a hospital, carrying his helmet under his arm. A staff member approaches and hands him a package.
Hello. There's a package.
Yeah, cheers.
Jerome steps out of a lift. Now he's riding his bike through the streets of London.
I could take that Richard that he's with, but I don't, because I know his mate's sister. Bless her, she bought me a Boss shirt from Bista.
He approaches a young nurse sitting at reception.
If he's cheap, then how can you knock it? Go betting him, I don't put me hand in me pocket. Stop it, never, no chance, none. I'll be in bridge with me great-grandson. And I ain't got two more lines, but fuck it, the race just done.
They exchange flirty smiles with one another. His face lights up as he leaves the hospital. Later, he's on his motorbike when it grinds to a halt in a car park. He's pushing the bike along a pavement. His mum Tracy's vacuuming at home when Jerome calls.
Jerome?
Yeah, mum.
The bike's seized up. And the mechanic says it's finished.
Oh, Jerome, I'm so sorry.
I suppose it was on its last legs.
Yeah. So much for my new job, yeah?
Oh, I'm really sorry, babe.
Jerome's on the driveway, tinkering with the bike, when his stepdad, Bentley, comes outside.
Do you want a hand?
No, I'm all right, thanks.
I just, yeah.
Nighttime. Jerome's in his room listening to music on his headphones.
Jerome, can Bentley have a word with you?
What?
Yeah, downstairs.
Oh, all right, mate. Listen, I was talking this over with your mum. We both saw how upset you were about the bike, the job and it. So, what do you think if I get you a bike? And you pay me back in instalments. Because I found a couple second-hand on the website.
He hands Jerome a tablet with an image of a motorbike on the screen.
Aren't you going to say something?
Yeah, cheers.
Oh, well, cool. Well, then, let's go down there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, no worries, man. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
They're at the motorcycle showroom.
All this can be yours for $13,499. Now available at 0%.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the one.
Sorry, just sold that.
You got anything else?
Not second hand, I'm afraid.
Well, we'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, have you thought about buying new?
Well, I can't. I can't stretch to that.
Well, I know this is going to sound like a sales pitch, but we can sell you a brand new one at 0% interest. So that actually works out cheaper than buying secondhand. You take this one, interest-free, you're looking at £73 a month. It's for your boy, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not.
Well, he's my son.
No, yeah, have a word. Thing is, I'm still paying on finance on our cars. Do you think I'll still get the credit?
I can check for you. What's your employment status?
I'm a chauffeur. Self-employed.
Yeah, just a sec.
The sales assistant leaves with Bentley's business card. Jerome and his mum are sitting at a desk nearby.
So, 73 quid a month. How's that sound? Can you afford it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Approved.
Hey!
Well done. I'll just grab the paperwork.
Wow.
I'll pay you back.
I know you will, mate.
No excuse for my behaviour. Friday to Sunday, that's 3 days gone.
Jerome's back on the bike, navigating London streets.
I'm rich and famous, but I just spunked every penny of my wages. Pat lunch ting every day next week to the end of the month. I'm on Sainsbury's basics.
All right, sick. I get paid to ride around on my bike all day.
And what are you doing?
All day. I'm a blood courier.
A blood corona.
Not corona. I'm a blood courier. I carry blood around.
Wait. What do you mean you carry blood around?
On my bike.
To what?
To hospitals. I deliver blood.
You deliver blood?
Yeah. For the testing that, I deliver to hospitals.
That's ridiculous, mate.
Right, I'm going to make like $1,500 a month. Easy.
I'm giving you food.
$1,500 a week.
Yeah. Nah, maybe not a week. Yeah, that's a bit much.
Nah, but
though I always thought of it,
Oh, Deborah, do you recall? Your house was very small, with wood chip on the wall.
It's a bit old.
And when I came around to call, you didn't
know. Yes!
Jerome's smiling and dancing with his mates as he plays pool in a local pub. April. Security cameras survey London streets. Jerome's on a walkie-talkie. Riding through Camden, Jerome strays into a bus lane and a CCTV camera snaps images of him. Several banks of servers sit in a clinical-looking data centre at Camden Council. On the 16th of April 2015, Camden Council issues a penalty charge for £65, with 14 days to pay. Later, the envelope marked private and confidential slips through Jerome's letterbox. He opens it.
Ah, shit.
His face drops as he reads the charge, and he hides the letter in his bag. Later, Jerome's sitting in front of his laptop. As of the 26th of April 2015, his weekly earnings were £148, his weekly expenses were £85, and his take-home pay was £63. Now Jerome's back out on his motorbike. With a CCTV camera watching him, he performs a prohibited right turn onto a main road. At the data centre, Camden Council issues another £65 penalty charge on the 29th of June 2015. Jerome has 14 days to pay. Looking impassive, Jerome reads the letter, then pulls another piece of paper out of his City Sprint bag. It's an enforcement notice from the council, dated the 27th of May 2015, and demanding payment of £130. Another letter, dated the 7th of July, demands £65 for a penalty charge. Later, he's short of breath as he does press-ups in his room. He clutches his chest. Jerome picks up the phone and calls his boss.
Control.
Yeah, this is 4-2, Jerome Rogers.
You're not on the system, yeah? 4-2.
No, I'm not. I just had a quick question. I think there's been a mistake on my invoice.
Hello?
Mistakes?
The other day I drove 24 miles from SC1 to W1.
And I only got paid for, £8.
Do you realise you only pay for POB, yeah?
Well, on what?
You're only paid for the miles you're carrying a package, so it'll be 12 miles, not 24. You were paid correctly. It's all in your courier handbook. Couriers who decide to take jobs that are nearby are likely to result in less dead mileage and increased backloads.
It's only because I got a couple traffic fines that I have to pay, and I don't have
PCNs money. PCNs are your responsibility, not the company's. I would have covered that in your induction.
Yeah, I know, okay. Sorry.
All right. Jerome sighs. July. With darkness falling, Jerome's sitting in his bedroom when his mum walks in with a pile of clothes. He quickly conceals a piece of paper.
Hi, sorry, just... a few bits.
Yeah, cheers.
How you doing?
I'm fine, Mum, I'm fine. You all right?
Yeah, good. How's work?
Work's it's great, yeah. The bike's super smooth, so I can ride around, and get to where I'm trying to get to, A to B, real fast.
Good.
But not too quick, obviously.
No, careful, always careful. And, you all right for Bentley's money this month?
Yeah, of course. I was just working out right now, and it's all good.
I just thought, because you haven't had much time to get it together, so I thought I'd just help out a bit there. Just gonna leave that there, Jerome, all right?
No, I don't need it, Mum.
It's all right.
I don't need it.
It's all right.
And I'm supposed to be taking care of you now.
Shh, we won't say. I'll see you later.
His mum slips out of the door. Later, Jerome hands Bentley some money.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's deserted you already.
Yes, looks as if the
Listen, Red,
have you seen Charles?
Thanks, mate.
No problem. That's right, isn't it? It's 18 quid a week, 73 a month.
Perfect.
Right.
Jerome steps back into his bedroom, looking anxious. On the 20th of September 2015, Jerome's weekly earnings were £187. His expenses were £83. And his take-home pay was £104. Jerome pulls out two penalty charges from July and August, both demanding £195, with 14 days to pay. A restless Jerome is lying in bed. He watches a video on his phone.
When I get bills I can't pay, I hide them. I know I do it, but I promise myself I'll deal with it tomorrow. I think a lot of people are in a very similar situation. I'd like not to be self-employed, work for a company. So I knew from 1 week to the next my job was safe.
Northampton County Court. A computerised court authorises the seizure of Jerome's property. On the 25th of September 2015, Camden Council automatically subcontracts enforcement. Newlyn bailiffs receive a notice of enforcement for £277. Then in October, a removal of goods order for £512. Finally, in November 2015, Newlyn bailiffs receive a removal of goods order for £789. Our removal unit will be looking to remove your possessions.
Newlyn, removal of goods notice.
Trading since 1999, Newlyn's vast experience in debt recovery and enforcement means we're well placed to work with our clients to help them achieve their collection targets year on year. During these times of austerity, Newlyn offers more innovative ways to assist the council, delivering a best value service, collecting difficult debts efficiently and effectively. In fact, we regularly collect more than other enforcement contractors and are at the top of Islington Council's league table for debt recovery. Our goal is your success.
By the 22nd of November, Jerome's weekly earnings were £131. His weekly expenses were £82. Jerome's in his room on his laptop. He's on the Newlyn website, where he clicks a button which reads, "Make a secure payment now." He pays £5, leaving an outstanding charge of £784.
No one really knows how bad it is. Don't like talking about money problems with anyone. I don't want handouts or fundraisers or anything like that. I just want a job to be able to pay my bills and to live without constantly crying, you know? I can't do this anymore.
Nighttime. Jerome's sitting on his bed.
Jerome?
Jerome's brother, Nat, is at the door.
Yo.
You alright?
Yeah. I'm gonna go to the pub later with Mike if you wanna come.
I've got this party thing.
Party, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, but, like, I'm with Jay. Yeah, no, I might rain check.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have for fun, yeah.
Let me know if you change your mind, though.
Yeah.
Later, Jerome's dancing in a club with Jay. Strobe lighting illuminates his glazed expression. Jerome looks groggy and struggles to keep his eyes open. Daytime. Jerome's phone buzzes with a message. Enforcement agents due to take control of goods. Return home now or to stop callers.
What? No, just hang on. What? Can I set a payment plan? Because I can't pay it all at once.
No, I'm sorry, sir. I can't discuss that with you over the phone. You're going to need to speak to the office.
Which office is that? Is that the, hold on, was it Newlyn, right?
Yeah, that's right. Do you want the number?
Welcome to Newlyn PLC. Please note, calls may be recorded.
He puffs on his inhaler.
Automated payment line, please press 1. Alternatively, please hold to speak to the next available agent.
Good afternoon.
Hello, yeah, I wanted to...
Hello, you're speaking with Newlyn PLC. Can you confirm your name, please?
Jerome Rogers.
And your address and postcode?
It's CRO3CK.
And the first line of your address, please?
24 Whitton Street.
Okay, are you calling to clear your balance, sir?
Yeah.
And what kind of card are you using?
Oh, well no. I wanted to talk about payments, because, as you see, this... I can't afford to pay all this at the same time.
Okay. Well, the enforcement agent has advised for it to be paid in full, and that's as much as I can discuss with you.
Well, I can't afford to pay it all today.
I'm sorry, but in regards to payments and arrangements, we can't discuss that with you. Only the enforcement agent can.
But he said to call the office. Is he part of the company or is he separate?
He's the manager on your file, yeah, but he does work with Newlyn, yep.
Right, okay.
Okay, all right, thank you.
The call handler flashes a brief look of sympathy, then hangs up her headset, picks up her mobile and walks off. Later, Jerome's on the Newlyn website. He tries to make a full payment with a card, but it's declined. He paces towards the window, looking distressed. Now daytime, and an envelope slips through the letterbox. Dated December 2015, the letter's from Newlyn, asking for £1,019. Our removal unit will be looking to remove your possessions. January 2016. A car drives along a suburban residential street, with vehicles parked on either side. The car pulls up outside Jerome's semi-detached house, where the motorbike sits on the driveway. A bearded middle-aged man in the driver's seat watches as Tracy leaves the house. He approaches her.
Morning. Looking for Jerome Rogers.
Jerome!
Jerome scurries downstairs.
Yeah? What's that?
There's a man outside, asking for you by name. He's a bailiff.
Jerome Rogers?
Yeah?
He got 2 traffic fines, one for £507, one for £512. Makes a total of £1,019.
Jerome's open-mouthed as he swings the door shut, leaving the bailiff on the driveway. The bailiff switches on his body cam. Then Tracy steps out of the house, followed by Jerome.
Can we work out, like, a payment arrangement or something? Because he obviously needs time. No, but...
It's
not going to... On the phone work, I'm going
to
cancel.
No, he's going to need to clear the lead case.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll message you, don't worry.
Bring me.
No one else will be.
It's cold.
Yeah.
I already made a payment.
Yeah, you made a payment of £5 previously.
Yeah, well, remember, I called you guys up to set up a payment plan, a payment scheme.
Yeah, you can't make a payment scheme and now your balance is £1,019.
Well, you said that I could.
No. We haven't spoken before, sir.
The other guy I spoke to, yeah, I called him up, yeah, and he said to speak to ring the office. But then they said that I had to speak to the bailiff.
Yeah, right, OK, look, if it's been refused, that's just the way it is. So what you need to do now is clear this.
Well, no, I don't think it has been refused. They just said to me that...
OK, look, where you're at now, right, you're being taken to court.
See, I just don't think you understand the process.
When you're issued with a ticket, they give you an opportunity to pay, right? You then get taken to court by the council and it becomes a court order rather than a traffic fine, sir. Okay? Then we're given the authority to come in and seize assets, which is where you're at today, right? Now, the best I can do for you right now, you come up with a 507 that clears the first ticket. Then me and you, we can talk, we can make an arrangement to pay the rest of the balance.
I don't get paid till Friday.
You're talking to me like that's my issue. I'm just here to talk you through the legalities of this.
I'm already on my way to work, though. As far as
now,
I know, I can't...
Sir, that is controlled goods.
But I'm already on my way
to work.
Are
you aware that this is all on camera, sir? Yes or no?
Yeah.
But I'm already on my way, though.
That is not a problem, sir. OK? But this is a seized vehicle. If you remove this, it becomes a criminal offence. You are, in effect, stealing this vehicle. Do you understand?
Yeah.
The best thing that you can do right now is to get this cleared. I'll give you half an hour.
Jerome's mouth is agape as he takes it all in.
You're joking, aren't you? Half an hour? Are you serious?
You've got half an hour. What I can do, I'm well within my right to seize this vehicle right now, but I'm not doing that, am I?
No.
I'm prepared to help you, to work with you. Now, where do you work? Do you work local?
No, I'm a courier.
Oh, you're a courier. Right, so you need this vehicle for work. So it's in your best interest to find the 507 now, today, get that paid off, all right?
That
is the best that I can do, sir, if I'm honest.
Are you facing an emergency situation? In desperate need of cash? If your situation is dire and you're on your last legs, then now is the time to take advantage of one of our Cobra loans. We can get you quickly back on your feet and back in the driver's seat. We won't ask you for your life story or what the money's going toward.
It's simply none of our business. There are no restrictions whatsoever upon how the money is spent.
So if you're looking for a quick cash loan provider that won't embarrass you by making you tell the story of how you got into financial trouble in the first place,
we're definitely the company to talk to.
Annual interest 274% variable, residential 101% APR, maximum 1226%.
Jerome applies to several quick cash loan companies on his laptop, then gets on the phone and calls his mum, who's cleaning a house.
Right, is everything all right? Is he gone?
No, he's clamping my bike and I don't know what to do.
I'll call Bentley, he'll help.
Hey, babe. What? Yeah, no, I see. All right, no, let me just get my shoes on, I'll sort it. I'll find out what's going on, and I'll talk to the man, all right? Yeah, don't worry. I got it. Yeah, cheers.
Morning, sir.
How much does he have?
Well, we need to clear the first car, which is the 507 ticket, today. If we can do that, then I'm prepared to work with him over a matter of time to pay off the remaining balance. Now, technically, I could seize the vehicle, but I don't want to do that. Okay, I don't want to do that, because I know he needs it for work.
Bentley sighs and considers the options, then reaches into his back pocket and pulls out his wallet.
All right. Card all right?
Card is perfectly acceptable, sir. I'm going to do... pop your numbers in here. I just need you to do me a little squiggle, OK?
Yeah.
Might take a few seconds.
Looking ashamed, Jerome's eyes fall to the ground. He's deep in thought.
Jerome?
Yeah?
Sorted the first ticket. You gonna be okay to set up a payment plan for the rest?
Yeah, of course.
All right. I'll be inside.
The bailiff switches off his body cam.
got a remaining balance of £512. How about if we set up £128 per week, we stretch it out over 4 weeks?
Yeah, yeah, please unclamp my back now.
You can sort that out.
Yes, yes, unclamp my back, please.
Yeah.
The bailiff begins removing the motorcycle clamp. Later, a sheepish Jerome steps into the kitchen, where Bentley's standing, holding a mug. Jerome struggles to meet his stepdad's gaze.
You all right? I'll put you about that tonight. Just don't worry about the money.
I'll pay it back. I'll pay all of it back.
Okay.
An unsettled Jerome leaves the kitchen and Bentley sighs. Jerome's sitting in his room when he receives a text. It reads, arrangement, 4x weekly payments of £128. Initial payment due 29th of January 2016. Contact me if any problems. He overhears Bentley and Tracy speaking downstairs.
I see the bailiff's turned up and he never even mentioned he'd got the letters.
Yeah, no.
Yes, Trace, I'm close to my credit limit already.
I bet you are. Well, really hope he appreciates it. Do you want to chat with him?
Is he in his room?
Yeah. Shall I go and get him?
Oh, yeah, go and get him.
Jerome?
Yeah?
Can you come down and have a chat with me and Ben, please?
Now?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks. I just don't understand what happened. How did it get so high?
Well, 65 quid when I first got it.
Yeah, so why didn't you pay it then?
I don't know. I think I've left it in my satchel.
Yeah, but you must have got more letters.
I thought work would take care of it, but said it wasn't their problem. And I tried to pay it off twice, you know, but I got declined. So I called up Newland and then asked about a payment plan. They said I need to speak to the bailiff.
Mate, you got to come to us when something like this is going on. Next time, I might not have the money.
Well, it's sorted now anyway. I've set up a payment plan for the second ticket, so it's fine. And I will pay you back all of the money.
Okay, but can you manage that payment?
Yeah, Mum, it's just a couple traffic fines and a payment. I'm paying it now.
Can you promise me?
Yeah.
Jerome's watching a video.
Debt, it goes away from my parents if I die. I'm terrified of being a burden. They deserve to finally live for themselves and they can't. They'll get enough money to pay for the funeral and then they can just move on.
A despondent Jerome's hunched up on his bed. Nat.
Well, dinner's ready.
All right, cheers.
You coming?
Yeah, I'll be down in a sec. You good?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good.
How's work?
It's good, nice. It's great, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Don't sound like you're too sure.
What's been up then?
Lots of driving.
Lots of driving.
Lots of money.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
That's good. Making some money then on these courier jobs.
Yeah.
Nice. It's all smart then.
How am I supposed to earn a living? I only get paid when I've got a package on board, which means half the time I'm on the road, I'm earning nothing.
Yeah, but dead miles, yeah.
And, all right, then on top of that, while I'm earning nothing, I've got to rent my courier pack, which is 24 quid a week. And then I've got to pay for my own petrol. I've got to pay insurance, which is more expensive because, you know, it's a work vehicle. On top of that...
On top of all that, you're right there, beck and call. So...
Exactly.
That means whenever they want you, you've got to make sure you're there. And if they don't want you, then you just...
I'm just sat there, like, earning nothing. Literally, just sat there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a joke.
What about you? You seem to have got it on lock.
Nah, I wouldn't say I've got it on lock. I'm in the same boat. Serious. The amount of petrol I burn.
What, that you pay for?
Oh, it's depressing.
You pay for the petrol,
absolutely,
yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
And the insurance and all that?
Yeah, it's all out of my pocket. It's not a real job.
It's
John, this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a real job.
What do you mean, like
that? What I mean is, it's a zero-hour contract, no obligations, no strings, no...
What am I supposed to do? Would you kick off to the controller or something?
Yeah, well, what would that prove? You kick off to the controller, they're not going to give you any jobs. You've got to play the game. So what are you going to do? Are you going to...
So how do you do that? How do you do that?
Just be my charming self. Just use your charm. I don't know. Yeah, what you want me to say?
That's,
yeah, just,
that's the magic, that's magic power. Yeah.
Just turn on the charm. I don't know.
Easy for you, mate.
I don't know about that. I'd say within time, you just get used to it.
Later, Jerome's lying in bed, watching another video on his phone.
I lie in bed at night and keep saying I'm in debt to myself. I hate it. I'm drowning and I can't see any light. I've never felt as worthless as I do right now. I can't sleep. I'm so busy trying not to sob and wake up my family. I don't know how I'm ever going to make anything of my life.
Framed photos of Jerome as a smiling child. One image is of Jerome with his brother in a forest. Now Jerome reminisces about his childhood, where he's playing a game of hide-and-seek with his brother in some woods. Nat clocks Jerome scampering into an abandoned, derelict wooden hut.
Jerome! I'm not going in there! Come out!
Now, just after 6 a.m. on the 20th of January, Jerome receives a text. Congratulations, your loan has been approved. We'll put £250 into your account today. 1,081% representative APR. Later, Jerome collects a wad of banknotes from a cash machine. He bounces off with a smile etched on his face. Later, at home, Jerome takes out his wallet and hands Bentley some notes.
It's 250 quid. I pay the rest of mine.
You're all right, listen, sort the bailiff out first.
I have sorted it out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all sorted.
Wow.
Okay. Work came through. Late payments. So it's all sorted now.
Oh,
payment plans, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
cool. Yeah. All right, man. If you're sure.
Yeah, positive.
Oh, cheers. You good?
Yeah. Cheers, man.
All right, bro.
Cool.
Cheers.
Jerome's fake smile falls from his face as he leaves Bentley in the lounge. He pauses in the hallway, choked with emotion. Jerome's lying in bed, lost in thought. His outstanding penalty to Newlyn is £512. Anxiously, he rubs his eyes. February. Jerome's on his motorcycle navigating the city streets. Looking jaded, he barely manages to glance at the young nurse while collecting a package. Wearily, he rubs his face. He continues making his way through the streets on his bike. Pulling to a halt, he drops his head, feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders. Later, he's crouched outside the A&D ward of the hospital.
This is 4-2, over.
He puffs on his asthma inhaler.
This is 4-2, over.
Yeah, I got a double rush, urgent.
I'll take it, yeah.
Looking pale, Jerome slumps over his bike, quivering, then takes another path. He rushes into a bathroom, where he splashes water on his face, then leans against a mirror on the wall, catching sight of his ashen appearance.
This is 4-2, yeah. I'm going to have to cancel it.
I have at present got 128 other couriers available to go, so do you want the job or don't you?
I'm sorry, I just got a bit sick.
Just take 5 minutes, okay?
All right, yes, I've got a little job for you if you like one.
8-2, I've got a Notting Hill to Highgate for you.
6-2, you're empty already?
Yeah, stand by. Just go get a
two
coffee.
2-3, got a pick up at Charing Cross.
7-7, I've got a rush out of Parliament Hill going to Brixton. Call me when you're POB, okay?
This is 4-2, over.
Copy, 4-2.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with my tracker. I think it might be the connection or something.
It looks fine from this end. I can see you on the system.
Okay.
Keep standing by.
Yeah, roger that, over.
By the 28th of February 2016, his weekly earnings were £102. His weekly expenses were £84. His take-home pay was £18.
Nobody can possibly survive on 3.5 hours pay a week. What it boils down to is you've got your 3.5 hours and then you've got your flex time on top, which, you know, they'll give you if they need you. Once your face don't fit, calling sick, rub someone up at work the wrong way, yeah, you don't get no more hours. That phone stops ringing.
Sometimes you wouldn't know if you'd have to go into work until, like, an hour or two before, and if you can't go, if you couldn't, then for the next like few weeks you wouldn't get any work. You just feel like some sort of replaceable part. It does really get you down.
Jerome pulls up at the City Sprint HQ. He lifts up the visor on his helmet and talks to himself, playing out various scenarios.
My name's Jerome.
Oh, no.
Come on.
React.
Holding his helmet under his arm, Jerome walks into the office. He stops in his tracks when he clocks his boss sitting in front of a computer wearing a headset.
I really couldn't give a monkey's name. You need to get there on time or you don't, okay? All right, well, let me put it this way.
Jerome stares at him, catching his gaze and distracting him for a brief moment.
Are you in the area? Can you get in the area? Well, as soon as possible, please. Thank you.
Looking agitated, Jerome turns and heads out of the office. He wipes his nose with his sleeve, struggling to maintain his composure. Outside, he hotfoots it back to his bike. Later, Jerome's in his bedroom. With the blinds drawn, blocking out daylight, he's tapping on his phone. A text message comes through. Reminder, payment due tomorrow. Now he's on the laptop, watching a video on Reddit.
I haven't seen my friends in weeks. They want to go to bars and things that cost money. I have zero money to my name. I'm isolated. If I'm going to kill myself, now's the best time to do it, frankly.
The 7th of March, a car pulls up by the side of the road. The bailiff turns on his body cam and steps out of the vehicle.
Sir, what are you up to?
I'm on my way to work.
Right, this is what's going to happen. Right, if you don't pay and you remove that vehicle, I'm going to have to inform the police that it's stolen.
That's the same guy as before. I thought he'd sorted it.
Just make sure he's all right.
I could go down and... But he don't like it. He doesn't want me acting like his dad. Right, I'll keep an eye on him from here. And if I have to go down, I will. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that vehicle is owned by the court, and this is all on camera, okay? If you remove that vehicle, it's technically stolen.
Steve, but have you got that in writing? Because if you have that in writing, then I'd be more than happy to if you can show me.
I'm just telling you the law. Okay, I'm not preventing you from doing whatever it is you're doing, but if you remove that vehicle from the driveway, it'll be stolen. It'll be flagged as stolen. You're going to incur more charges if I have to come back here. Now, this is all on camera. Okay, it's just the law. Are you preventing me from carrying out my duties?
No, I'm just standing there.
You know what, I think I'm just going to call the police.
Well, no, I'm not preventing you from doing anything. I'm literally just standing here.
Sir, if you seize that vehicle, you're breaking the law.
What am I? What, by just standing here?
Hello, I'm an enforcement officer working in Croydon. Yeah, I'm at the warrant's address. I'm about to seize a vehicle, and he's removing it from the property. Yeah, I need to class it as stolen, so I need a CAD number. Yeah, I've explained the law to him. He's adamant that he's right.
Can I hear what you're talking to? Yeah, can you put on speaker, please? Please, just, I need to hear what you're saying. If you're talking to the police, I need to hear what you're saying, because it's about me.
So don't touch
me. I'm not touching you, I'm just putting my hands up.
So are you preventing me from carrying out my duties?
Preventing you from taking pictures.
All right, you know what? I think I'm going to clamp your vehicle. This is what's going to happen. If you remove that vehicle, you prevent me from clamping your vehicle, you remove the clamp, you'll be in breach of the peace. And that's where we're at the moment, and that is why I called the police. Okay?
A view from the bailiff's body cam as Jerome hops onto his motorbike, drives onto the road, then pulls the motorcycle back onto the driveway. Sitting on his bike, Jerome is frozen, his eyes resting on the ground. Now looking distressed, he bursts into his bedroom and sits in front of his laptop, then watches a video on Reddit.
I know that they'll miss me, and I know that I'll get plenty of people at my funeral, but I don't see any other way out of my financial situation.
I'm a single mum with a one-year-old. I am drowning in debt, and the bank are taking me to court for repossession. My son goes away on Sunday for 1 week. I feel quite calm now, as I'm planning to take my life.
Jerome places one foot out of the porch and onto the driveway, where two uniformed police officers are waiting. One of them approaches Jerome.
He needs the keys to your motorcycle.
Don't know where they are. Besides that, my back, I can't work. So what's the point anyway?
Do you have any money?
Bentley's upstairs, filming on his phone.
Nobody has any money.
Well, no breach of the peace has taken place, so we're going to go now, all right?
The officers head off. With a glazed expression etched on his face, Jerome watches the bailiff crouch down and place a clamp on the rear wheel of his motorcycle.
We went in the car, sir.
Looking distressed, Jerome steps back into the house. Wide-eyed and frantic, he thumps a wall. He's panting and short of breath. He throws his hands around the back of his head and crouches down. Now he clasps his hands together in a prayer motion, looking desperate. He heads towards the window, where he stares at the floor. Now his eyes are closed, he looks more collected, holding his temples with his fingertips. Bentley's in the hallway, on the phone.
I know the thing. Yeah, he must be up in his room. Well, I'll check later. Yeah. No, the police have gone. Yeah. Well, no worries. Look, if something happens, I'll call you. All right, see you later.
A resolute Jerome takes a satchel off the back of his bedroom door, then takes a length of rope from under his bed and places it in the bag. He leans his forehead against a wall, struggling to process his emotions. Finally, he opens the door. Slowly, Jerome heads downstairs. He turns away from the front door and looks back into the house, as if weighing up his options. He briefly catches sight of himself in a mirror hanging on the wall. He thinks, then heads to the door. He places a palm on the handle, bows his head, and pauses. Tentatively, he opens the door, pauses again, then steps out of the house. The bailiff is sitting in the driver's seat of his car and watches Jerome leaving the house. They lock eyes with one another, but Jerome keeps on walking. With tunnel vision, he strides along the pavement. Looking increasingly distressed, Jerome's pace quickens. He heads into a field and stares at a forest on the horizon. He walks towards it, his red satchel slung over his shoulder. He stops in a clearing within the woodland and sees the abandoned hut where he played as a child. His face crumpled with emotion, he steps inside. He recalls his playful younger self, and his face buckles, etched with anguish and despair. He bends forwards, resting his hands on his knees, and whimpers. A wave of pain washes over him, and he clasps his hands behind his head, then takes the rope out of his bag. Jerome struggles, looking overwhelmed with emotion, but in a spurt of composure, he throws the rope over a wooden beam and catches the end, forming a noose. Still sobbing, he removes his jacket. His face contorts with pain. He paces about, then steps forward and pulls on the rope. In a moment of measured calm, he pauses, thinking. At 3 a.m. on the 8th of March, Jerome's mum steps into his bedroom. In darkness, she crosses the room to his bed.
I can't come to the phone right now, but leave a message after the beep.
Jerome, it's Mum again. We're just really worried about you. We called the police. I just wanted to say, don't worry about the bike, because we can sort the bike out. We can find the money. It'll be fine. Love you.
She's standing by the window as she hangs up. Daytime. Jerome's bike sits on the driveway with the clamp still attached to the rear wheel. At 11:15 a.m., Jerome's sister Holly walks into his bedroom with a hot drink. She sits at a desk and starts reading his laptop. She discovers that on the 26th of February, Jerome had done searches for suicide by hanging. Her face drops. He repeated the same search on the 7th of March. In the forest, the sun peeks through tall trees.
Why? Jerome's gone missing, but I think I know where he is, and I need you to come with me, yeah?
Run!
It's 9:30 p.m.
This is it.
Nat and Mike approach the wooden hut.
Run!
With torches illuminating their route, Mike leads Nat into the abandoned dwelling.
Jerome? Jerome?
Jerome?
Jerome, mate?
Mike pulls back some blue tarpaulin and clocks Jerome's red satchel lying on the ground. His torch then illuminates Jerome's body, hanging from the rope, his eyes open and his face pale. Nat breaks down, and he sits slumped against the hut with Mike. At home, Jerome's mum, Bentley and Holly wait, staring out of a window. Tracy Rogers speaks to Newlin.
Hello?
Oh, hi, is that Tracy Rogers?
Yes.
Hello, I'm calling from Newlin PLC. I agreed I'd give you a ring back.
Okay. Do you know why I'm calling?
Sorry?
Do you know why I'm calling?
I am aware that, obviously, that I'm very sorry for the loss of your...
My son must have been felt so ashamed that he could not even ring me up to tell me about it.
I now am in debt to nearly £10,000 to pay for his funeral. How ironic is that? I don't even know how I'm going to get through his funeral, how I'm going to get through the rest of my life without him.
Who up to? Right, this is what's going to happen. Right, if you don't pay and you remove that vehicle, I'm going to have to inform the police that it's stolen.
When you're issued with a ticket, they give you an opportunity to pay. Right? You then get taken to court by the council and it becomes a court order rather than a traffic fine, sir.
Yeah.
Then we're given the authority to come in and seize assets, which is where you're at today.
Jerome Rogers, 1995 to 2016. With special thanks to Holly, Macy, Nat and Tracy Rogers.
I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace, by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me, Lord, I've been broken, although I